The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Monday afternoon. Thank you for joining me on this Monday after Father's Day. Hope you had a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day weekend, especially the fathers in our audience. And by the way, if your father is still living and you didn't call or contact him in some way, please do so today. I don't care what your relationship is. Contact your father. I can tell you from experience, one day you will not be able to contact your father. My dad and I were not especially close. We weren't separated by any means. We had a really good relationship. Loved my dad. He loved me. We just weren't extremely close. That was the nature of my dad. My dad wasn't really close to anybody. He was a good man. He really was. But he just wasn't very close to anybody, including me. So we never had a close, intimate relationship. But I loved my dad and loved talking to him. We could never talk about personal things, but we could sure talk about the Dodgers and the Angels. Oh, my goodness, my dad was an Angels fan. In fact, you may not know this, but the very first time the Angels made it to the World Series was the year after my dad died. You say, well, what is that? Well, I think when he got to heaven, he put in a good word. Anyway, we could talk sports. We could certainly talk cars. My dad was a car guy. When I was growing up, we would own a car for an average of about 3 months, and then we would trade. He was an old body and fender man from the old days. We usually had at least one wrecked car in the garage that he was working on. He was buying, selling. In fact, I personally owned four cars before I got my driver's license. I did. So we could talk cars. We could talk sports. Politics, maybe. But anyway, I said all that to say this. I'd give anything to talk a little Angels baseball with my dad on Father's Day, but can't do that. He's in heaven. Joy's dad, one of the finest men I ever knew. I had a much closer relationship, actually, with Joy's dad than I did my own. He was an extremely personable person. Great sense of humor. Love my father-in-law. I can't talk to him. So, please, if your father is living and you did not make contact yesterday, make it up today. Had a great weekend. Really did. Had our oldest grandson over to the house and our first great grandchild. Oh, my goodness. You talk about a kid, a one-year-old with a personality. Oh, my goodness. We had such fun yesterday. It was a good day. It really was. It was a good day. And just rejoicing. And I hope you had a good day as well. But if you didn't find a way to honor your dad yesterday, please do so today. Please do that. Well, some people think this is just a joke. I don't think it is. There is a new online petition to change the name of Columbus, Ohio to Flavortown. Now, where in the world did that come from? Well, Guy Fieri, or Fieri, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I know how it's spelled, but I hear it's pronounced Fieri, and I also hear it pronounced Fieri, but he's the Food Network guy, diners, drive-ins, and you know, whatever it is. And he's from Ohio, and he has referred to Columbus as Flavor Town, just kind of as a joke, because this is the home of so many restaurants. And so anyway, well, since Mayor Genther talked about our ugly past and how we have to take down the Columbus statue. Well, if you're going to take down the Columbus statue, how in the world are you going to continue with the name Columbus? So a whole lot of people think there's going to be a movement to actually change the name of the city. And an online petition has already gathered over 25,000 signatures suggesting that we change the name from Columbus to Flavor Town. All righty then. And then, I'm not often right. I'm certainly not always right. But every once in a while, if you were listening last week, I told you what was going to happen this weekend in Columbus. Mayor Genther gave an order to police. All right, no more tear gas, no more pepper spray. We're going to treat the protesters with respect, and therefore no pepper spray, no tear gas. And then the well-known audio of the guy caught in downtown Columbus. He calls 911. I'm surrounded by people. They say they're protesters. I am frightened. The 911 operator says, sorry, the mayor has issued a stand-down order. We can't do anything with the protesters. You're basically on your own. Well, City Hall denied that there was actually a stand-down order, but we do know that Mayor Genther made a big, big thing publicly that we're not going to use tear gas, we're not going to use pepper spray. If you were listening last week, I told you, recipe for disaster. If you advertise to rioters, looters. Now, again, I want to add, peaceful protests, fine. But this has been going on now for 3 weeks, every night. Anyway, if you were listening last week, I said, by this public announcement by Mayor Genther, he is inviting violence this weekend. He is inviting it. He sent out a signal. Do anything you want and we won't respond. Well, did you see the news last night? Police in Columbus using pepper spray and tear gas. Why? The protest turned violent again. They were building bonfires in the middle of High Street, blocking it off so people couldn't get through. People were being threatened. And when the police tried to peacefully disperse the crowd and open up public streets, they were met with violence. And so how did the police have to respond? Pepper spray. I'm not positive about the tear gas, but I know they were using pepper spray very frequently last night, trying to disperse the violent crowds. And some of the people that I saw interviewed on the news basically said, this is our street. We have a right to block this street. This is our street. This is the people's street. Well, it is the people's street, and people driving in vehicles or wanting just to travel on that street have as much right as the protesters. So once again, the streets of downtown Columbus turned violent, and I believe because of the leadership of the city of Columbus. There is a move to recall Mayor Genther. I don't live in Columbus, but if I did, I would be one of the first to sign it. Horrible leadership in the city of Columbus. Terrible leadership. You had to know it was going to happen. You had to know that. All right, quick break. We'll be back.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Well, the lawlessness and destruction down at the State House has certainly caught the attention of the Speaker of Ohio's House, Larry Householder. He posted this not long ago. Again, this is from the Speaker of the House. Last week, cars blocked off the intersection of Broad and High. Later, a bonfire was set ablaze at the intersection. There has been vandalism, drag racing, fights, and shots fired at troopers. These are not protesters. These are insurgents. Broad and High has another name, State Route 40 and State Route 23. Do you think the State Patrol would sit idly by on State Route 13, 22, 37, or anywhere else and allow the road to be blocked off and a bonfire set ablaze? Do you think they would turn their head with people drag racing or firing guns toward them and passing cars? If Columbus police won't do something, then these are state routes, and the State Patrol has jurisdiction on state routes. There are federal, state, county, and city buildings in Columbus. Only state buildings have been torn up. There is a reason for no protection. The legislature will find and answer. Then a little later, he shows a picture of some of the rioting downtown. Again, this is Larry Householder. This is the epicenter of state government and the symbol of law and order in Ohio. It lies within the It lies within the jurisdiction of the city. Arrests that have been made in past weeks have had all charges dropped by the city prosecutor. A bonfire in the street last night at Broad and High, adjacent to the Ohio State House. A law-abiding citizen must have a burn permit for a backyard weenie roast. The lawless just start a bonfire in the street. Not just any street. The most famous intersection in Ohio. City police departments are established and controlled by municipalities. The municipalities collect local taxes to pay for salaries, benefits, equipment. The municipalities establish hiring policies, training requirements, and arrest policies. The municipalities hire the police chiefs and control the actions of the police. And Larry Householder went on to say that the city of Columbus will be charged with all of the costs of repairing the damage caused on state buildings here in Columbus. Now, I know I've said this before, and I don't want to just go overboard on it, but if you will honestly take a look at all of the cities in America that have had severe problems with violence, looting, destruction, defacing of property, shots fired, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in the midst of the peaceful protests, let me repeat for the umpteenth time, peaceful protests are a part of the fabric of America. Nothing wrong with that, everything right with that. But looting, violence, destruction, that's not a peaceful protest and accomplishes nothing. But what I started to say, take a look at all of the cities in America, and there are dozens of them that have been dealing with this kind of thing now for 3 weeks or more. And I believe that in every case, the city government is under the control of Democrats. I don't think that's an accident. This message of appeasement never works. And I told you last week when Mayor Ginther announced that they were going to take down the statue of Christopher Columbus. If you were listening last week, I said he is trying to appease the radicals, and it won't work. The very people that he tried to appease last week were at his home, his personal residence over the weekend, demanding his resignation. The very people he was attempting to appease, that tiny little percentage of radicals, the very same people were at his personal residence demanding his resignation.